We all love vinyl sounds, and it feels that we're chatting about vinyl revivals or vinyl death over and over and over again. I mean, for a long time there, vinyl was only secondhand. You only saw the dusty ones in your storage unit and your grandpa's vintage collection. But we've seen an incredible boost. In fact, vinyl sales, according to Australian Music Records, had a 38% increase in sales last year, 28-year high, and become one of the most popular mediums for consuming music. Nick Warnock, he's the founder of the RIP Society Records, and he works at Repressed Records on King Street in Newtown. He joins me. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you. Now, look, we've been talking about vinyl comebacks for a long time. Is vinyl just here to stay now?
Well, it depends how you kind of look at it. Other people would say that, you know, there's this idea that vinyl is only being made new again in the last 5 or 10 years. Mm. But some record labels were making vinyl throughout the 90s, throughout the early 2000s. Some kind of niche areas of music continued it, and there was active pressing plants the whole time. So I guess it's just kind of like shifting in how it's being consumed. And there's, you know, the audience that enjoyed it for that whole time and was even buying new music on vinyl. And then there's kind of a new audience. And now those statistics that you said about the increase, that's probably going off some kind of like, record store retailer kind of...
It is, from memory.
Kind of something like that. Whereas a lot of the records that we sell at Repressed Records, there is no kind of measuring like how many were made or where they were, because, I mean, they're all independent labels. It's not like we as a store don't go through any sound scan, kind of like our sales don't get reported to APRA. Oh, sorry, not APRA, like the ARIAs or anything like that. So, you know, I feel those statistics are kind of just maybe even forwarding the agenda of the major labels to kind of be like, oh, vinyl's here, you've got to get into vinyl, because they're so far behind and kind of want to, you know, be like, oh, we're pioneering this new era of vinyl, whereas really it's existed in so many other ways this whole time.
Now, I think what surprised me is so much good stuff being released on vinyl. We've seen a lot of indie labels really pushing that kind of vinyl, I don't want to say agenda, but that vinyl kind of production in Australia. I didn't realise there were still so many vinyl pressing, you know, manufacturers.
Well, I mean, there was those ones that kind of stuck around the entire time, and there was ones that, like a big pressing plant in the Czech Republic that operates under many guises, as in they're kind of a massive pressing plant that has a bunch of brokers. So you might be sending, you know, your records to a company called, a pressing plant called A to Z Media or Pirates Press, but it's kind of the same one. So in that sense, yeah, but there are new manufacturers in the place that I use, Got a Groove Records in Cleveland, are a new pressing plant. And I think they were set up about 7 years ago. I think I was one of their first international customers.
Wow.
But they've kind of expanded. And I'm afraid to use anyone else because I've had so many horror stories about pretty much every pressing plant, and this one works for me, so I continue using it. So, yeah, there's other stories of some of the big pressing plants in California being overrun by kind of like mobsters and mafia people, and yeah, I mean, people keep finding the parts and the presses and kind of refurbish them. I think places are finally manufacturing kind of whole new presses, but yeah, it's kind of, you know, think about it. If you went to a club until maybe about 2005, you were probably still seeing someone DJ records.
Oh, absolutely.
As in the CD DJ technology and kind of the ability to mix and tracking and stuff like that. I guess that's only become a reality in the last 10, 15 years, being able to do that. So if you're looking at DJ culture, you're still were looking at records until very recently. So that's just, you know, there's many alternative histories of vinyl.
I like the collectability aspect of it, I've got to admit. I mean, sort of, you know, with so much streaming music happening and people subscribing to those services, we've lost that kind of go out and buy a physical product. But vinyl has its own kind of innate collectible feel to it, I think.
Well, that's also very manufactured these days too, because while the major labels could just press a bazillion copies of something as popular as Nirvana's Nevermind, they would prefer to do these short runs because they're really ignorant and kind of like drive up this demand, which doesn't really help them make any more money. It just helps someone on the internet make more money. The same with Record Store Day. I just don't really understand a lot of these kind of you know, inbuilt kind of collectability things that people are doing. It seems like a lot of a real gimmick, and you'll find that a lot of those items that people are buying to be collectible in the future won't be worth anything. The same, you know, it's just a lot of those records won't be worth anything. Yet that band that everyone ignored, that maybe played 1 gig a month in Sydney to 30 people, there's a good chance their record will be the one that's worth a lot of money down the line, because history shows that those niche independent products that were done out of kind of enthusiasm,
yeah,
not this kind of manufactured scarcity, are the things that actually become important. So it's very funny, this idea of collectability in vinyl, because yeah, there's a lot of people attempting to sell you on that, whereas, you know, you might be able to flip it for more money in the next 6 months, but 10 years down the line, no one's going to be buying your Mac DeMarco 7-inch for big money.
Look, you know, to put my nerd hat on for a second, we saw it a lot with comic books. There was always the foil cover and things like that, and they've gone on to be the one that everyone bought, so they've got no resale value.
Yeah, totally.
Because there's no rarity to
you
it.
You can't really manufacture these kind of things that are going to be kind of like culturally important or strange. For example, a band from Wollongong called the Sunday Painters that barely anyone really knows about. Their records were worth about they're like a post-punk band, kind of like an Australian band trying to do maybe like a Public Image Limited or Swell Maps, kind of like that second wave of UK punk where it got a bit more experimental. Their records were worth about $1 in 1990, but they kind of developed this cult following overseas. Now their LPs are worth about, I don't know, $400 or $500.
Wow.
And to the point now where, you know, someone's been working to reissue those records in North America for about 10 years. They've been in contact with these people that are just, you know, normal people in Wollongong now, and their records have been released by What's Your Rupture, who are, you know, responsible for releasing Royal Headache and Parquet Courts. So there's that little no-name band that self-released their records in an edition of 250 in the first half of the 80s, you know, now had this accidental collectability and this second life where people that were around at the time didn't even know they existed in Sydney. People I thought knew everything and now picking up about their records. So that's what I like about it. This kind of like telling this alternative history through records and kind of like these paths and, you know, this building this kind of like mental web of where music sits and the kind of communication of walking into a record store and maybe being kind of thrown off the usual way in which you would go about finding music. That's what I kind of really enjoy and really enjoy doing in work.
Very well put, Nick. Thank you very much for chatting to Breakfast this morning, mate. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you.
Nick Warnock, he's from Repressed Records on King Street in Newtown and the founder of the RIP Society Records, talking a little bit about vinyl. And yeah, sounds like it is actually here to stay, whether you like it or not.